today's gospel and Old Testament lessons both have to do with temptation. Eve and Adam faced temptation. Jesus faced temptation. And we face temptation too. Eve was given the command by God to not eat from the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden. And when the serpent asks her about the boundaries that God gave her, Eve repeats what God said, affirming that God said no to eating from the tree in the middle of the garden. But the serpent is crafty, and he redirects Eve's loyalty from God to temptation by speaking words that capitalize on what he knows will change her heart. And that is her desires. So with her allegiances changed, Eve eats of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and gives some to Adam as well. And he eats it. Now, eating fruit seems relatively harmless. I have a dog. Some of you may know that, some of you may not. My dog's name is Sandy, and he is a terrier mix. He's about 25 pounds, so he's not a teeny tiny dog, but he's not a very big dog either. And Sandy has some problems. I mean, he's much better than when we first got him, like 3 or 4 years ago. He was a mess then. He's a little better, but he's still a work in progress. Most of Sandy's problems have to do with temptation and giving in to temptation. Most of that temptation has to do with the desires of his belly. Sandy loves to fill his belly. We give him dog food. We do not starve the poor dog. Don't worry. We feed him well. We give him sufficient food in the morning and in the evening. And he eats. And he gobbles it up. And it's gone in 30 seconds or less. Yeah. Yeah, the dog just eats the food, and then he stares at you like, all right, it's time for seconds, and thirds, and fourths, and probably fifths. I need some more. But we don't give in. But Sandy doesn't starve. He gets little bits throughout the day. He gets a treat every time he goes out and comes back in. He gets a treat every time he comes back inside. But that's still not enough for Sandy. He tries to root out food wherever he can find it. So he does things like jump up on the table and try to steal things off of plates on the table. Or he'll search the counters, trying to find little scraps that might be there. Or he'll wait right under your feet as you're preparing a meal, just waiting for you to drop something. He even stole half of Ethan's pancake yesterday. The dog has no shame. He has temptation problems, and they stem from his greed. We, too, face temptation. Our primary mode as human beings is often to fulfill our desires. And what we desire has a lot to do with what we love, what we enjoy, and what we are loyal towards. So when we're tempted, our allegiance to God is being put to the test. It's in those moments that we have the choice to say yes to God and no to temptation, or yes to temptation and no to God. And we have this opportunity on a fairly frequent basis. There are many things that tempt us. And sometimes those things have an easy time redirecting our loyalty to God. Our desires are the large source of our temptation. We face the desire to eat more than we need or is good for us, and that's called overeating. We desire promotions or higher pay at work and allow our relationships and our spiritual life to suffer in order to receive the bigger paycheck. We desire more attention or more prominence. So we redirect the spotlight on ourselves rather than serving others. We desire more possessions and more property for ourselves. So we may even go so far as to leave others without a place to call home or without the necessities that they need for life. Sometimes the temptations we face are very bodily temptations. Oftentimes we refer to them as addictions. So maybe it's alcohol or prescription drugs or recreational drugs or pornography or sex or gambling or plastic surgery or something else. We give in to compulsions that we have, whether it's binge watching your favorite TV show, or giving in to that retail therapy, those impulse buys. When we do these things, we give in to the temptation to turn a deaf ear to God and to resist listening to God's word. In our temptations, we end up a lot like Jonah. Jonah was the one who received a message from God, said, it doesn't really jive with what I want to do. So he tries to run away. And as he tries to run away, he finds himself through a series of events in the belly of a big fish for 3 days before he is spit out in the place where God was trying to send him. We're tempted to believe our lies of self-reliance rather than trusting God. We're tempted to try to take complete control of our lives, to write our own stories, to control our destiny, when God has written for us the best story that we could ever be a part of. We manipulate ourselves through temptations like eating disorders, and we manipulate others through the abuse of power. Another temptation that we frequently give into is the temptation to fear. You see, we allow fear to paralyze us. We give in to its temptation, and then we fail to take action or to speak up when we should. I think most of these temptations that we face stem from a more central temptation. And that's the temptation we have to try to fill spiritual holes. We think they're voids, that we need to stuff things in there to fill all the holes, like we're a piece of Swiss cheese and we don't want those holes in there. So we try to stuff things in there, when really those holes aren't Swiss cheese. Those holes, if we allow them to, form the shape of a cross. That God-shaped, cross-shaped hole where only God can fill us. In order to combat this temptation to stuff ourselves, to fill a void that we have no place filling, we must follow the example of Jesus, who took time to spend time with God. We need to take time to connect with the one who created us, who knows the number of hairs on our head, and who loves us without exception. God knows the shape of those holes, and God is the one who desires to fill and satisfy us. God wants us to choose him, to follow Christ. But God doesn't want us to do it so much that he gave us no choice in the matter. We have a choice whether we follow Christ or not. God has called us to follow because it will free us for joyful obedience. Following Christ means that we are attempting to become formed more into who Christ would have us to be, more Christ-like in our thoughts and actions and way of living. Now that seems like an impossibly high standard. Yeah, it's hard. Scripture tells us, though, be perfect as Christ is perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And here's the good news. We don't do it on our own. And even better news is we could never merit it on our own. And there's nothing we can do or say to earn salvation, because it's God's free gift to us, one that we just have to accept, to commit to. And God stays with us, even when we struggle, even when we fall short. So in order to deal with the temptations, it helps to remember who we are. We have a very special identity as Christian people, those of us who are in relationship with God. You see, God calls us beloved. He calls us his children, his sons and his daughters. And he tells us that we are created in God's own image and in God's own likeness. Now, God's image, that's like the image when you hold up a mirror and you see a reflection back. We have something of God that we reflect, something of God that we look like. But we're also made in God's likeness. And that means we have the attributes and the characteristics of God within us. Now that's the thing that sin corrupts. That's what gets tarnished with temptation. It's those characteristics, that nature of God that is within us that suffers when we give in to temptation. So don't give in to temptation. Don't let it be an identity thief to you. Remember who you are and whose you are. And as Martin Luther famously said, "Away with you, Satan. I am baptized." Now, all of this said, I want to offer you an invitation today. And it is an invitation for this Lenten season. It's the 40-day season that we have to prepare for Easter. We heard that and as Jesus prepared for his ministry, he spent 40 days and 40 nights out in the wilderness. So we have a season of 40 days to prepare ourselves for the season of Easter. So I want to offer you an invitation for this Lenten season. It goes something like this. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the early Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection. And it became the custom of the church that before the Easter celebration, there should be a 40-day season of spiritual preparation. During this season, the converts of the faith were prepared for holy baptism. And it was a time for persons who had committed serious sins and who had separated themselves from the community of faith to be reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and to be restored to participation in the life of the church. In this way, the whole congregation was reminded of the mercy and the forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the need that we all have to renew our faith. I invite you, therefore, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer and fasting and self-denial, by reading and meditating on God's holy word, so that we may be a people transformed and prepared to receive good news. Amen.